Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the staff or management of the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast.
You can't do drugs before you come in and wait tables.
Yeah.
I would not go back into the industry at FM gunpoint.
Yeah.
You cannot make me go back. And I see, and these were my exact words. If I go back into a kitchen, it's going to be my place.
We get all kinds of suggestions about what we should put in a crepe. And
oh, I'm sure.
We'll take them and I'll try to figure out how it
I wish everyone could see your face right now.
It's just we do have to, it's got to work within our parameters.
I've been very fortunate in my life to know when doors open and see them. And I think that's, I'm very blessed for that, and I'm very grateful for that, to know that, oh, there's a door open right there. I need to walk through that one,
there
or not, nope, not going there.
This could be like my place.
You're gonna be one of the restaurant elder statesmen of downtown Springdale.
Yeah. And so that was cool, man.
That is cool.
And
really
so
cool.
As I get older, I want to try to kind of lean into that.
Heck yeah, man.
Welcome to the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast.
We've had some really entertaining dirt road deliveries. We almost did a creek crossing. We had a dog as the maid of honor on one of our
ring bearer.
Ring bearer. She got chased by a chicken,
rooster.
A rooster, and a dog.
Here's your host, John Engelman.
I'm kind of an Eggs Benedict degenerate. Boy, am I. Hey there. And welcome to the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast. Thank you for being here for episode 7. This week, we went farming. Kinda. Well, not really, but we were at a farm, and a really great one. You heard me talk about them last week. Cobblestone Farms in Fayetteville, and what kind of work they do for our area. They farm on just 2 acres and give back 20,000 pounds of produce to those that are food insecure in our area. 20,000 pounds! We talked with Operations Director Nikki Ringler, and while she handles the books and the business side of things, we were interviewing her last weekend before she took on some watering duties. She's very, very busy, to say the least. Their focus for growing is organic and regenerative farming. They focus on soil health, biodiversity, and natural pest management. Nikki gets into that for us as judging by my garden the past few years, I know nothing about it. She'll also tell us who benefits from those 20,000 pounds of produce and where to look if you have spare produce from your garden. And I am guilty, guilty, guilty. I've let so much go bad in my garden over the years. Now I have a better idea where to turn. I feel better about that, finally. Another pillar of importance for them is to educate future farmers. And they put a considerable amount of time into that. There are many ways that they do it, some of it being taught through volunteerism, also, some through camps for kids, and more. If you have a kiddo who likes to get his or her hands into the dirt, you'll want to hear this. Finally, how do they keep going? Well, several ways. Mainly through your donations, but also through CSA Shares, which is a way for you to get fresh veggies to try weekly. We talked to Cobblestone Farms Operations Director Nikki Ringler. That's next, right here on the Flavors of Northwest Arkansas podcast.
Connect with us at Flavors of Northwest Arkansas on Facebook and Instagram, or by email at flavorsofnwa@gmail.com. Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Welcome back. We are on location at Cobblestone Farms here in Fayetteville. We're with Nikki Ringler. She is the Operations Director of Cobblestone Farms. First off, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
And thanks for having us.
Yeah.
We just kind of invaded the whole area here.
That's all right. You're welcome. You're welcome to be here.
I appreciate it. What I'd like to do is start with the mission of Cobblestone Farms.
Okay.
Kind of tell people what it is.
Sure. So Cobblestone Farms exists to cultivate a community free of hunger through sustainable agriculture. And so we are a nonprofit farm here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. We have 25 acres, but we grow on about a little over 2 of the acres. And this year we're set to grow 20,000 pounds of produce. Ooh. That we'll actually donate back into the community.
That's amazing. That's a lot.
It's a whole lot.
I mean, that is an operation right there.
Yes.
All in 2 acres.
Yes.
Goodness. Yep. That's something. Now, you all do grow, as you mentioned, through environmentally responsible and regenerative agriculture. How well is that received in the community?
You know, I think it's really well received. A lot of people are surprised by it because it does require extra work, extra planning. But there's a really big push, I'm sure most of your listeners are aware, just for homesteading, gardening at your own house, having a little bit of livestock if you have some land. A lot of people are really interested in that right now. And so, especially in our area, I feel like it's really well received.
Our livestock is a 2.5-year-old schnauzer, so I don't think she's much help. Although she is trying to keep us rabbit-free in the backyard, which I don't,
hey, that's
I don't,
something.
I don't
that's
know
something.
That we appreciate. Maybe we do. I don't know. But yeah, she's been busy with that recently, so had to keep an eye on her, though. But you're right. As far as growing at our house, and I know you were talking about you guys do a little gardening at your house as well.
A little bit, yeah.
And it's not the easiest thing. You know, when you get the idea, and we'll talk a little bit about this later, but when you get the idea to have your own garden and put it together, it's all great until you start doing it and everything goes wrong. Or things go wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or until you realize it's going to cost me a lot of money in soil and time and sweat equity.
Right.
And I'm growing just some lettuce. It's a lot of work.
That's
it's
right.
A whole lot of work.
That's right. And that lettuce is not going to be good for long, so you better
right.
be ready for it when it's harvest
exactly.
time. It's got to be ready right then. Well, I know you guys have a wide swath of beneficiaries of the food. Who specifically do you all service to or distribute to?
Yeah. So we're the farmers. We're the local farmers. And then we work with different distribution resources within our area. So one specific group that we work with is Seeds That Feed.
Okay.
And then they deliver to multiple areas. They'll come here and, for example, last week they were here, they picked up a whole bunch of carrots that we had harvested.
Nice.
And they took carrots to the VA. The VA has a friendly fridge. There's several friendly fridges in the area. And when I say area, we serve all of Northwest Arkansas.
Which is great. It's not just Fayetteville.
Not just Fayetteville. No, we serve all of Northwest Arkansas. So, they took carrots to a friendly fridge, but there's multiple of them. A lot of just low-income housing areas, and then also a lot of senior living areas. People don't realize a lot of our seniors in the area struggle. They might not be able to drive, so getting fresh produce and having it while it's fresh is really a luxury. So we provide to those places as well. Northwest Arkansas Food Bank is another big one that people are really familiar
sure.
with.
Yeah. Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
That's awesome. I know it's not an easy thing, educating the community and training the next generation of responsible farmers. But we were talking about earlier the programs in place to help get that information out there.
Yeah.
And the people that come and help.
Okay.
Quite
yeah.
frankly.
Yeah. So we have a lot of volunteers that come. A lot of times people will be interested in farming. Maybe they want to try a little garden at their house or kind of just see what it's all about. They will sign up through our website to come volunteer. We also have a lot of really big groups. So, for example, like the Walmart Home Decor Department. They might bring their
awesome.
Whole group out and we put the whole group to work and they
nice.
All volunteer. But as far as educating, so a lot of it is hands-on education because people come here because they're interested, whether that's agriculture, horticulture, nonprofit, all different reasons for it to pique someone's interest.
Sure.
So it's hands-on training, but also we partner with the U of A some with different departments there. They'll bring students out for farm tours, that kind of thing. CAF, if you're familiar with that,
mm-hmm.
partner with them some. They bring people out to tour
CAF?
The farm. They are an education group for up-and-coming farmers.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And actually, a lot of people that work here went through their program.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're basically also looking for your future
It's kind
employees.
Of a funnel. It's kind of a funnel, yes.
That's a great thing. That's a great thing. Speaking of which, I know there are some people that, you know, actually may have started that way and do this now. Mm-hmm. But there are probably people that started here volunteering and are probably doing something similar on their own that you may or may not be familiar with.
Yeah. We actually have a specific volunteer right now, and she's coming 1 to 2 days every single week. Okay. And so she's kind of just part of the team. But she comes, she knows where everything is. She actually studied, I believe it was horticulture at the U of A, but works in the corporate world and still just wants to be a part of doing something like that. So she comes and volunteers a lot. And I think it's kind of like, once you're here, you kind of get like the gardening bug, I think, because I didn't really garden much before this. I would do tomatoes or whatever, but now I'm built, got a raised bed in my backyard, and I'm like knee deep in gardening in my own backyard because there's just something about it that is really,
We're dancing around this.
Fun.
What are you growing? We're dancing around this.
All right. You say, what are you growing? I'm trying to grow. Three variations of lettuce.
Okay.
Tomatoes, just one variation of tomatoes.
What kind? I'm very picky about my tomatoes.
I think they're called Big Boy.
Oh.
That's what they're called. Actually, that is what they're called.
Not familiar.
And then bush beans. So nice. Green beans that are not pole beans.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's probably
I'm going to try it.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about, as we've come to find out. So it's probably not a very big area. How big is your space?
It's 4x6.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Mine's,
so we'll just try it.
Mine's like 10x4 or 5, around like that. And I have yet to plant anything, so I've got to get busy.
You do.
Well, I'm waiting for all the freezes to finish.
I think I'm hopeful that we're close. Everyone says April 15th, though. But here at this farm, we've been planting for a long time. Although
sure.
We have coverings.
Well,
you guys don't have that at your house.
No. But you guys also, the root vegetables are always pretty good during this time as well. Yeah, awesome. Well, cool. I forgot to ask about one thing, and it's already happened, but the Camp Cobblestone program.
Yeah, Camp, well, it's kind of sad.
Oh.
So we're so excited about Camp Cobblestone, but it actually ended up pouring rain that day, and we had to cancel it.
No.
So we're going to try to reschedule it this summer.
Oh, good.
But that was just to get kids on the farm, to get kids interested in the idea of that even kids can grow things on their own. So we had different stations. They were going to get to harvest some carrots and try some carrots that we'd grown here at the farm. They were going to get to paint a birdhouse and, basically talk about like the life cycle of a seed. They were making a trail mix. So it's going to be great, but the dream has not died. We will do
Good.
It. We'll do it this summer. And we had actually partnered with another nonprofit in the area, Potter's House, if
sure.
you guys are
oh,
familiar.
Of course.
Yeah.
Bet.
So they were bringing out like 30 of their students to come out here and be a part of the program. So I think for both of us, we want to make it happen. So
absolutely.
We will this summer. And Adventure Subaru had sponsored it. And
oh,
so
great.
They're willing to hold their sponsorship until this summer. So
awesome.
I think it'll happen. And then shout out as well to Einstein's Bagels in Fayetteville. They provided lunch for
nice.
All the volunteers and the kids, and we were able to deliver it to the kids. So
that's
it was still a win.
That's great.
Still a win. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you're doing it this summer.
Yeah.
Is it like completely packed for it, or can people still sign up for the summer? Or
we'll probably have to reopen the sign up.
Okay.
Just depending. I don't know if the same kids that signed up those summer dates will work for them.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right. Keep your eyes out.
We'll put it out there. Yeah.
Keep
we
your
will
eyes
put
out.
It out all over social media.
Okay, great. Perfect. I just want to double check that.
Yep.
Speaking of, we talked about this briefly. We kind of touched on it a second ago, but really building out that volunteer network and continuing to build. It's never done.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing thing. Tell me a little bit about that and how
do
that.
Yeah, so we really could not, and I don't say this to like be fluffy, but we really couldn't do 20,000 pounds of produce without volunteers. It is so much harvesting, so much planting, so much weeding that it really takes all volunteers. So how our system works is you go onto our website, you click, we've got tabs across the top, so you click the volunteer one. We can take individuals on Mondays and Tuesdays from 9:30 to 11:30, and then we have groups on Fridays from 8:30 to 11:30, I believe. And so the groups can be up to like 30, 35 people, so it's great for like church community groups or corporate world groups, that type of thing, to come out here, see what the mission's like, and kind of, you know, get their hands dirty, do something different for the day. So yeah, we try to always have those volunteer slots available. So sometimes we'll post on social media, like, we've got 3 volunteer spots for Tuesday. Can anyone come out and help? And it's not, we're not like, oh, it'd be nice. No, like, we really do need the help. We're a small staff trying to do some big stuff.
That's great. And that's amazing. And you said you post that. Do you post it on the website? Do you do it on social?
Whenever it's a just kind of a last minute need, mm-hmm. like let's say a couple volunteers have to cancel for whatever reason, we just post it on Instagram usually.
Okay.
Yep. So Cobblestone Farms, NWA.
Okay. We'll get into that a little bit more as well. What does a typical day look like around here?
Ooh, a typical day. Well, I'm actually on the business side of the farm, so I'm not personally a farmer.
But you're not doing the business side today, actually.
I'm not. No, today, with it being a Sunday, I actually have farm chores this weekend.
Sweet.
So every Saturday and Sunday, the farm still has to be checked on. Things have to be watered. And just, you always want to put your eyes on your harvest every day, what you're growing every day. So we try to do that. So today's my day. So I'll be out here maybe 45 minutes to do all the watering.
Okay.
And then, but during the week, Monday through Friday, my day, I don't know that I've had a typical day. Like, what is a typical day?
I don't know.
Sometimes I am helping out, like in the propagation house, or I'm helping out with watering. A lot of times what I'm doing is communicating with volunteers, working on programming, working on financials. I do some of the HR stuff. So with operations, I think operations is always kind of an umbrella role that's like a lot of small things that keep the business running. So I don't think I really have a typical day. Although I don't know that anyone really has a typical day here. I think we all start out with a plan.
Well, you got to start with a plan.
Right. But when it's a garden to this size, I think sometimes you just always have to be flexible, you know?
And we hadn't really talked about this, but boy, you guys have to pay particular attention to the weather.
Oh gosh, yes. If it freezes one more time, I think we're all going to pull our hair out because it's like cover, uncover. Are we covering tonight? No, don't cover. I mean, it's.
I bet you got a text chain from.
Yes, yeah. We really do. We really do. And then we have, you know, a lot of different, we have water everywhere. And so it's like putting the hoses back on, undo the hose, put the hose back on, undo the hose. It's just. It's a lot. So
I don't even want to do that in my side yard.
I know.
I don't even think about that. That's crazy. Well, the Community Supported Agriculture, or the CSA shares. I saw that and I had to do a little digging to figure out what it was because it didn't immediately click into my little feeble mind. But please tell us what that is.
Yeah. We're trying to get that to be more typical language. I think if you're in the farming community, you're like, oh, CSA, I know what that is. But a CSA is Community Supported Agriculture. And so what it is you can buy a share. So our share runs for 12 weeks. Our vegetable share runs for 12 weeks. And once a week, you pick up 7 to 8 vegetables that we grow here at the farm. So that is going to look different every single week. We try to not do like 3 onions and 4 of something else. We try to give a really wide variation, but it really depends on what was harvested that week.
Yeah.
But the purpose of the CSA is the CSA is going to cost you more than if you just went to Walmart and picked up some produce.
Of course.
This is locally grown. It's organic. But part of the reason why it's priced a little bit higher is because we use part of those funds to then put back into the farm, to buy more seed, to help with different operations, paying hourly workers, that type of thing, so that we can then donate that produce that's grown. And so it's really a way to benefit yourself a little bit, you know, try 7 to 8 new vegetables per week, but then also be able to help the food insecurity issue that we have here in Northwest Arkansas. So it's kind of a win-win. I think it's a win-win.
Sounds like it.
You know,
how do people get involved with that?
Yeah. So right now we're actually sold out for spring. We just sold out. But we will open it again in the fall.
Awesome.
And those vegetables will look different. So just because if you get a CSA in the spring, know that you could sign up again in the fall and try different vegetables.
Congratulations.
Because different things
grow.
That's cool. Thanks.
That's
yeah.
That's awesome.
So people get involved. We post on our social media. We have an email newsletter people can sign up for. And we say, like, we sent one right before, like, hey, we just have a few left. So if you're going to sign up, sign up. Nice. And then, so newsletter, social media, and then also on our website.
Gotcha. And yep. Do they come here to pick it up, or how does that work?
Some people, a few people that live really close to the farm will pick it up here. But okay. Most people, we have a Bentonville and a Fayetteville pickup location.
Oh, nice.
So Columbus House Brewery in Fayetteville partners
Holla.
With us. I know, which is great. People go in, they, you know, get their produce, have a little drink. It's a yeah. mutually beneficial relationship. And then two friends' books in Bentonville.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so the pickup is on Wednesdays, and you get there. You've got a bag with your name on it. Pick it up.
Get a book.
Yeah.
While you're there, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's great. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. When we come back,
okay.
Let's talk a little bit more about the farm and some elements of that and a whole lot more. When we come back right here on Flavors of Northwest Arkansas. Welcome back. It is time for the Mike Engelman Home Pro Tip of the Week. For those that don't know, this is something that my dad asked that we do weekly. I actually thought it was a pretty good idea, surprisingly. He lives out of state and is not familiar with the restaurants, breweries, farms, everything out this way. But we have a pretty good one this time. I will kick it over to Nikki for her Home Pro Tip of the Week.
Well, our farmers here could probably give you a far more specific tip, but my tip would be to figure out what zone you live in. So if you could just Google your area and try to find your gardening zone, and that's going to give you a list of vegetables that grow well in your area, when to plant them, if you're going to be brave and start from seed, when to start them from seed, when to put them in the ground. It's pretty specific. And then that way you just have a lot better shot at growing some things.
Yeah, don't stub your toe.
Yeah.
Do that. We'll be right back.
Just as I was starting my medical training, I came down with an autoimmune disease that led to cancer. I needed a liver transplant. Fortunately, I got one from someone who registered as a donor. As a physician, I understand the barriers to organ donation. Some people think their organs are too old or just don't want to think about dying. But one organ donor can save up to 8 lives. People who register as donors are heroes. And I'm here thanks to my hero.
Be a hero. Be an organ donor. Register today.
OrganDonor.gov. We talk about it every week, but it's really important. Please, please, please go to OrganDonor.gov. Not a very difficult page. Search it, go through, and see what it is that you have to do to become an organ donor. That's not a lot. Thank you so much. And welcome back.
Hello.
Nikki.
I'm back.
From Cobblestone Farms is here with us. Well, we're here with her. We're at Cobblestone Farms. But speaking of which, let's talk about what's growing right now.
All right. We have a lot growing right now. I'm gonna think through each tunnel we have. So we have a lot of garlic, a whole lot of garlic, onions, a few different variations of onions. We have carrots, spinach. I actually got to harvest a lot of spinach last week, so that was really fun. That was my first time to harvest spinach.
Oh, nice.
We have kale, and then a lot of different variations of leaf lettuce. Last week, I also got to be a part of transplanting different types of peppers. So taking them from their little space where they were seedlings and putting them into bigger pots before they go into the ground. Potatoes. We were last week, some of our staff were chitting potatoes.
Pardon me?
I know. Chitting. C-H. Potatoes. Are you familiar with that?
I have no clue what that is.
Okay. I wasn't either. And every time they said it, I just kind of laughed. But... whenever you have potatoes, you know how they'll get eyes on them?
Sure.
And so you can cut the potato where it has 3 to 4 eyes. And then, so if the potato has like 12 eyes on it, you're going to cut it in 3-4 chunks.
Okay.
And then that's what you plant into the ground. And then
really?
Those eyes help determine how many more potatoes you're going to get from that. That is the most basic way I could explain that, because that's all that I know.
Wow.
But I haven't seen it happen yet, but that's what I've been told. Now, if a real farmer, unlike myself, if my coworker farmers were listening to this, they would probably say I butchered that, but it's something along those lines.
Awesome.
And it was pretty cool.
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
How, you know, and we actually didn't talk about this. I'm going to surprise you with something here.
Oh,
but
boy.
How much from learning here are you incorporating with your garden at home?
Oh, gosh, like all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, last year we grew at my house, just my husband, kids, and I.
Sure.
We grew tomatoes, a couple different types of tomatoes. I always do a lot of flowers. Like, flowers are easy for me, and I just love them.
Mrs. Northwest, Mrs. Flavors of Northwest Arkansas does the same thing.
I love them.
Yeah, she's great.
And then I did some mint and rosemary. I did more herbs.
Yeah.
And I think it's given me bravery and just a little bit of knowledge to plant some stuff this year.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. And it doesn't hurt that I have real farmers at my fingertips here that I can call, or I can say, hey, this is what my lettuce looks like. What's happening? Tell me what to do.
So it's a great resource.
Yeah, it is.
That's awesome. So what's coming up next on the farm as far as the planting schedule, to your knowledge at the very moment? Like, what's going to be the next round?
Yeah, I mean, right now, if you guys were to go into our propagation house, we have a ton of stuff that's ready to go into the ground.
Propagation house, for those that don't know.
Sure. So it's like a greenhouse, essentially.
Okay.
And so it's where we start all of our seedlings. We can control the temperature a lot more, which is a really big deal with seedlings because they're really fragile, I guess you would say.
Sure.
And so in there, so much of that is ready to go into the ground. So right now, the different lettuces, some of the different lettuces are in there. I think we have like four different types of tomatoes in there. And then I think the onions are actually like my favorite to look at whenever they're seedlings, because it just like, they're all like these skinny little tiny things, and they each get planted individually. And so the time that it takes to do all of that is outrageous. But all of that's ready to go into the ground. And then what comes after that, I don't know what's coming after that. So
it's all a surprise.
Yeah, I'm excited.
The simplest of simple things, and I haven't even planted yet. I'm still waiting for it to get down to 32 again and ruin everything like it did a couple of years ago, but I'm probably wrong.
I hope so.
How do you remedy and keep everything growing? Because like I was saying, we had, I guess it was squash was what it was that we were growing, and the bugs got it and killed it. And how do we keep that from happening without the pesticides?
Yeah, that we are all organic, so there are no pesticides here. So it's a lot of hard work for sure. A lot of weeding just by hand. That's a big one. Another one is making sure that we plant things near each other that makes sense to plant near each other. So it's companion planting. And so certain vegetables, and also we would do this with flowers as well, plant certain flowers near certain types of vegetables that attract or repel types of bugs. That's a big deal. We also use a lot of different types of netting for certain vegetables that are more bug prone or insect prone than others. The farm team could speak more specifically to that, but
of course
those are the things I've seen so far.
Yeah. Well, that things we learn.
Yes.
I'm sure I wouldn't envy your water bill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you would not, actually. That's true.
Well, you've obviously learned a lot here. What would you tell someone trying to start a farm to help feed the food insecure?
Ooh, trying to start a farm.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of times you're going to find that the garden is going to outpace the gardener. And so you might, at certain points in the year, you know, not always, I would say two things really. One would be start small. Start with what you know you can do as far as a garden goes, because nothing's worse than having a lot of stuff come ready to harvest and not having the manpower to harvest it, and it goes bad. That's just sad. You don't want to do that. It's a waste. Yes, exactly. Yeah. We've all come back from vacation and you're like, oh, I have 17 tomatoes and they're all bad. So you don't want that kind of thing. So I would say start small as far as the garden goes. And then also, if your purpose is food insecurity, you don't have to partner with a local nonprofit. You could, that would be fantastic. But talk to your neighbors. Who do they know? Do you have a senior living facility near you that there are people there that would love, just whenever you have extra, to drop it off? Are there kids in your kid's class that you could take your extra produce to the teacher and say, hey, send this home with someone? It doesn't have to be anything formal. So I would say keep it small, do what you know how to do or what you're willing to try to do, And then just find someone that you know, or someone that you know, someone that they know, yeah, that kind of thing.
And this is just great advice for the everyday gardener.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we rarely, if at all, have all of our produce that we grow. I mean, we just don't get it out to people if we have too much in a timely fashion. And
yeah,
before we know it, it's no good anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say drop it off too to like some of our different local service workers. Like drop some off to the fire station. Drop some off to the police department. Like those are maybe not the food insecure people, but nothing's worse than just like wasted food, especially produce that you've grown right here, you know?
Yeah.
So someone will want it, I promise.
For sure. Absolutely. Speaking of that, how important is it for folks to care about food insecurity in the area?
Yeah. So this is a passion of mine. I would say it's very, very important. Even if you think you don't, you know someone that has struggled, is struggling, or will struggle with food insecurity. And maybe that someone's you and you just don't know yet. It is very, very prevalent in our area. In fact, USDA would say, some of their research says that Arkansas is the number one state in food insecurity. There's all sorts of research out there, but almost every single time Arkansas ranks in the top 10 states for food insecurity. And that's not a list that you want to be on, but we're always on it. And a lot of that has to do with smaller, you know, towns and areas of Arkansas, but Northwest Arkansas faces it too. In our area, 1 in 6 kids will face or is facing food insecurity.
Ugh.
And I also want to say, like, food insecurity, it might not look like you think it does. People hear that and they think, oh, starving children. No, all that means is they don't have access to what they need every day. So maybe that they get school lunch and school breakfast, but there's no dinner. Or maybe that's when the paycheck comes in, they're good for a week, but there's another week till the next paycheck. It's not these like sad ads you might see for starving children. That
sure,
it might be, but I think that it's just a lot more common. It's the everyday people that you run into that struggle.
There are people that work full time, have busy weekends with kids, have a lot going on. So they can't really give their time.
Mm-hmm.
How can they give?
Yeah, no, I get that. I also have 2 kids and we're running all over. So there's different ways. The first and foremost that I would mention is to give financially. On our website, we have a donate page, and it even breaks it down to, do you want to help feed 10 people? Do you want to help feed 30 people? So it breaks it down. And then there's also monthly recurring donations. And so we are always accepting donations, and those donations help us to be able to grow the 20,000 pounds of produce, to be able to partner with the food bank and Seeds That Feed and the Friendly Fridge to be able to deliver that produce. If you've ever started your own garden, you know that it takes a lot of finances, just a lot of money on the front end to be able to grow any amount. And this amount, it really does. The next thing I would say is just to communicate, talk about it. If you follow us on social media, we're on Facebook and Instagram, follow us on there and repost our stuff. A lot of times we'll post like videos of things here at the farm or certain stats about food insecurity in the area. So help us get the word out and make it known, one, what we're doing here, but two, why it's important and why it's a need. A lot of times when people repost, we'll get new followers, and it's just other people that weren't already in our audience that we get to educate about the need in our area.
Yeah, that's amazing. And what's your website?
cobblestonefarms.org.
Okay. cobblestonefarms.org it is. Well, thank you so much
for having us out. Thank you.
I know it's, like I said, a Sunday. You want to water and get out of here. I get it. But thank you for letting us delay you just a little bit.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. We will see you all next week. And please do not forget to tip your servers. Have a great week. Bye now.